Micah chapter number 6 and verse number 8. Reading from the King James Bible, the Pure Cambridge edition. And let's read together in unison, shall we? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I'm going to preach a sermon that no man is qualified to preach on, and that's humility. Only the Lord Jesus is qualified to teach and preach on humility, because all of us have a problem with pride and a lack of humility at one time or another in our lives. But as best as I possibly can, we're gonna read what God says about humility. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for loving us. Thank you, dear God, for your mercy. Thank you for salvation that we have through the Lord Jesus. Now, dear Jesus, please bless. Lord, only you are qualified to teach on this subject of humility. The one who left heaven's throne, the one who left heaven's glory by choice and humbled yourself as a man and came to this sin-cursed earth just so mankind could be saved, just so men could be saved and trust you to be their Savior. So, dear God, help us to learn from your example. Lord, help us to learn from thy word about this subject, humility, please. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I just stated, I can't think of anyone who is qualified enough to write a book on how to be humble. Because the truth of the matter is, once a person says, I have a lock on humility, it smacks of pride. So when somebody walks around and says, I'm humble, the fact that they're saying that tells you that they're not. When somebody walks around and says that they're not proud, the fact that they say that, that they are. And God doesn't ask much in the Bible if you look at it in this vein. The Bible says that his commandments are not grievous, but they are grievous to somebody who is not humble and is full of pride. You hear these phrases, oh, you want old-fashioned values or family values. You know what? That's a lot of talk until you find out what God says in the Word of God. And you'll find out a lot of people don't even believe that because they don't want to humble themselves to believe what God says. Pay attention to what I'm going to say this morning, please. Public weeping and shedding tears does not mean that someone is humble and meek. But you cannot have humility and meekness without weeping and shedding of tears, publicly or privately. Just because someone can smile, be friendly and courteous, does not mean they are humble and meek. But you cannot have humility and meekness without being friendly and courteous. Just because someone gives of his time and money to others does not mean that they are humble and meek. But you cannot have humility and meekness when you do not give to help others. Just because someone can sing loud and memorize Bible verses does not mean that they are meek and humble. But you cannot have humility and meekness when you are not willing to sing loud and memorize Bible verses. Just because someone can give a good sermon or Bible study, it does not mean that they are meek and humble. Just because someone is a pastor or a deacon or a teacher or evangelist, it does not mean they are humble and meek. Just because someone attends church, it does not mean they are humble and meek. Because someone gets baptized, it does not mean that they are humble and meek. Because someone tithes, it does not mean they are humble and meek. Because someone preaches on a street corner, has a loud voice and strong lungs, it does not mean they are humble and meek. Just because someone goes soul winning, goes on visitation, does not mean they are humble and meek. Just because someone is right on doctrine and principles does not mean that they are humble and meek. Just because someone helps others and volunteers does not mean that they are humble and meek. So a lot of times we have allowed the devil to hoodwink us and deceive us because someone is nice or can smile or is friendly, and we think they're so humble and meek. That's not true. Because you're going to find out from the Word of God this morning that humility, one of the, I think the greatest criteria in the Bible for humility is that you obey the Word of God to the best of your ability. Against your own nature. And against what your previous thought process was. Even if it goes against your upbringing, your religious upbringing, against what your prejudices are. When you are willing to lay yourself on the altar of sacrifice and, dear God, I'm willing to obey what you say in the Bible, that's humility. And all of us have a problem with pride and a lack of humility. And that's why we need a constant Bible diet to know what God says about us so that we remain humble as much as possible and not walk around with an attitude and a chip on our shoulder. And it's, notice this, in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy. I'm not going to talk about those two points this morning, but look what it says, and to walk humbly with thy God. We have an attitude today of people who are walking in a proud way, in a lofty way. They walk as if they own the earth. They walk as if they want to grab attention. They want to dress or talk or walk in a way that everybody says, look at me, look at me. Like fake book. That's why people take selfies all the time. That's why people tell everybody what they're doing all the time. It's look what I'm doing right now. Everybody's full of themselves and vainglory. And you want to tell everybody and advertise everybody how good you are, what you're doing, instead of lowering yourself in God's eyes so that God will bring you up and God will pick you up. Here's the thing. In God's economy, the further down you go, the higher up you go with God. In God's economy, the lower you become, the greater you become in God's eyes. But we have the opposite, you know. We're proud to be an American. You know, where we kill over 1 million babies a year before they're even born. We're proud to be an American. When we have the queers and sodomites parading down Main Street and perverting the children in government schools. That's nothing but pride. Humility says, I didn't know that, God, but I want to do thy will. I didn't know all that. And Lord, I may not know everything. I'll be honest with you, this is going to sound like a contradictory statement. I don't know how else to say it. The more I'm saved, the more I'm reading the Bible, the less I'm realizing how much I know. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And I know this is the Word of God. But I'm telling you, when people think they know it all, that's an indication of pride right there, ladies and gentlemen. When you get a chip on your shoulder, it's an indication of how full of yourself you think you are, that we're a know-it-all. We can tell everybody, you know, I got the lock on truth. Well, the only lock on truth we have is the King James Bible. The only lock on truth we have is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Now, here's what happens. When you come face to face with truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you defy him, that's not humility. That's pride. I don't care how much you can smile. You know, these actors and actresses, the whores and whoremongers in Hollywood, they get paid big money for lying on screen. They can cry real good. They can laugh real good. They can act real good. They get paid. Just because you laugh or smile or shed tears does not mean you are humble. But when I go through the Bible, and there's no way I can all exhaust it this morning. We're going through it tonight too. But I'm telling you, humility is connected with a broken heart and weeping. Mark it down. And if you have not gotten to the point, you just hold on to your horses, because God knows how to humble people. God knows what to bring people into people's hearts and people's lives to bring them to the point where they're ready to listen to God. Too many people are walking in a vain show, a pride show. They're not walking humbly with God. Take a Bible, please. Turn with me to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. I'm talking this morning, and I feel guilty about saying this, but to be honest with you, I want to be humble, but I'm not going to be the judge of whether I'm humble or not. I'll let God say that, but I do know some of what the Bible says about being humble. And I think we ought to start with the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter number 2. That's why you need your Bible and you need to read your Bible. So God puts us God reminds us of what God says about ourselves and Him. Philippians chapter number 2, starting in verse number 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in, watch this, lowliness of mind. And it's interesting because the word meek and the word humble is almost akin to each other, almost synonyms in the Bible. Lowliness of oneself or lowliness of mind. Watch this. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's what Jesus said. He that is greatest will be the servant of all. That's what Jesus said. But we got it reversed. We wouldn't be top dog. We wouldn't be in charge of everything, you know. That's human nature. The sinful nature wants to control people. Verse number 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That does not mean to be a busybody, but just being concerned about people and their souls and their eternity and whether they need help. That's not sticking your nose in other people's business, because he goes on, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Just show that to a Jehovah's false witness, please. Show that to a Mormon, that Jesus Christ is equal to God because he is God. But he said, let this mind be in you. Not that we're God, but look at the next verse, verse number 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God Almighty, who never sinned, never had one bad thought, never did anything wrong, left heaven's glory, he took on the form of mankind, the form of man, never did anything wrong, never sinned, was crucified, and he willingly did that because he humbled himself. But man in his stubbornness and his rebellion and his pride, who is sinful and wretched, rebels against God. And they masquerade it by being friendly. They masquerade it by being smiling all the time. They masquerade it by being courteous. And you ought to be courteous. And you ought to be smiling. You ought to be friendly. I'm not against that. But you have taken those outward emotions or the outward appearance of a person as if they're humble. Well, Jesus was obedient unto death, the Bible says. He was obedient to the Holy Father, not the devilish Pope in Rome, not the Antichrist that sits in Rome, but the Father in heaven. He was obedient to his own word and the word of God. Verse number 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus did exactly what he's telling us to do. The sinless God left heaven, came to earth, died on the cross. The saddest moment in the history of mankind, when they crucified the Lord Jesus, is separated by 72 hours on the greatest day of mankind when he rose again from the dead. He was obedient unto death. And you and I have a problem humbling ourselves because it's our pride that keeps us from doing it. What are people going to say? What are people going to think? What are my relatives going to say? What's my husband or my wife going to think? What are my kids or my parents going to think? They're going to think I lost my mind. Well, if you want God to bless you, we're going to go through these verses this morning. Hold on. If you want God to bless you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, you need to humble yourself before an almighty God who will see your humbleness, humility, and just raise you up. Take a Bible, please turn to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And verse number 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. So, the first thing we talked about in Micah is we need to walk humbly. Now he says we ought to be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. The fact that he says in 1 Peter 5, that verse number 6, to humble yourselves, and we're going to get through these other verses, it is a choice for you to humble yourselves. It is a choice. You decide whether you humble yourselves or whether you rebel against the very words of God. Take your Bible, turn with me to Exodus, chapter number, Exodus, we'll get there as soon as I find the chart, the verse. I'm sorry, Numbers. No, Exodus. I want to go to Exodus first. Exodus chapter number 10. Verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. And that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's sons what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my sons which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, watch this, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. Else, if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coast. So, one of the first things Moses tells Pharaoh is, says, how long, and it's God saying this, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself? Well, the same question ought to be asked of God's people. How long are you refusing to live for God? How long are you refusing to obey to the best of your ability the very words of God? This is such a contradiction here, because Moses, hold your place there, we may come back, but go to Numbers chapter number 10, Numbers chapter number, again, be patient with me. Numbers chapter number 12. Numbers chapter number 12. Notice this contradiction. Here is Moses, the man of God, going to Pharaoh because God told him to. Verse number 3. Numbers chapter 12, verse number 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That's a parenthetical thought in this context where Miriam and Aaron were, you know, accusing Moses of things, okay? So God throws that in my opinion, probably, if not the greatest, one of the greatest generals that have ever lived in the history of mankind. Moses single-handedly led 3, 4, 5, 6 million Jews out of Egypt through the Red Sea by himself against a bickering nation that didn't want to leave. He obeys God and goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. And how long are you refusing to obey God? And how long are you refusing to humble yourself? Now, if you saw that interaction there, you would say, boy, Moses getting kind of mean right now with the ruler of the people there. I mean, you can imagine sitting there, like John the Baptist going to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and and recounting all the sins of Herod, the Bible says. Of course, that's not popular today. In our minds today, in church, we said, boy, they're very arrogant. Who do those men think they are? But in God's word, God says Moses was the meekest man that was alive, at least at that time. You know why? Because Moses yielded himself to what God wanted to do. Be honest with you, Moses did have a temper problem. And to be honest with you, Moses had said some things he regretted later on. But the fact that God said he was the meekest man alive has him go to Pharaoh and tells him, how long do you refuse to humble yourself? Tells you that you and I are living in an age where the complete reverse is true today in our thinking. That you want somebody who can just crack a joke and smile, you know, make you laugh and tickle you, you know. And so you like getting along with somebody. You don't care if they drink or smoke or fornicate. You don't care if they hate God or hate the Bible. You don't care if they live for God or not. You just like somebody because they like you and make you laugh. And humility in the Bible is when you obey what God says. Do you love? You know, we sang that song, Wonderful Words of Life. Do you love the Word of God? Are you willing? Are you willing to humble yourself and say, God, I want to do what you tell me to do? Not, I feel something else. I have this emotional attachment to someone or something else. But God, I want to do what you want me to do. That's humility. And complying with what God says. Are you refusing to humble yourself before God? You know what John the Baptist said, this preacher? He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. You know what Jesus said? No greater preacher, no greater prophet born among women than John the Baptist. In his mind, he had it right because he said, I must decrease, he must increase. But we want to be the top dog. We want to be the top show in our lives, at work, you know, in our families, in the neighborhood, you know, in an argument, you know. Romans 12, verse number 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Ephesians 4, 2 says, with all lowliness and meekness. James chapter number 4 says, he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Colossians 3, 12 says, put on therefore the elect, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Romans 12, 16 says, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, that's another word that our society today has perverted, condescend. Because if you hear it today, it's in a bad connotation. Like, he's very condescending. Well, condescending, you know what it really means? It's to lower yourself to men of low estate. Do you ever notice that's the proud people that don't want to go to poor neighborhoods? It's the rich people that don't care about the poor people. Do you ever notice that? They don't want to lower themselves to go somewhere or be seen with somebody because, you know, their reputation is going to be soiled or somebody's going to see them. Well, God said, he said in Romans 12, condescend to men of low estate, mind not high things. He's like, we wouldn't mind if the governor, the congressman, or the president called us up and called us and asked us for dinner and said, man, sure. But God says a lot in the book of Proverbs about eating with the lowly and the humble instead of with the rich and the powerful. 1 Peter chapter 3, the wife ought to have a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Contrary to what you hear about what they wanted, a woman can do anything a man can do. That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. 2 Chronicles 7:14, very famous verse. If my people which are called by my name shall humble them, that's the first thing, humble themselves. We think our Savior is going to be the mayor, the governor, the county executive that we just voted for. Thank God he won. But that's not our Savior. The president's not our savior. The senator's not our savior. God says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The first thing is to humble ourselves. God's not going to bless the land if we don't humble ourselves. We're not going to be able to turn from our sins. We're not going to pray if we don't have humility. But we're being taught to be proud. Take pride in your work. Not give God the glory, but show everybody how good you are, how talented you are. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Job, please. Job 22. Job 22, verse number 29. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say there is lifting up. Watch this. And he shall save the humble person. You can't get saved unless you humble yourself before God and realize you're a sinner deserving to go to hell to pay for your sins. So we have millions of people today in America, going to church this morning, religious gatherings, proud to be an American, refusing to humble themselves like Pharaoh on their way to hell because they don't want to believe what God said. But they're going to come out, they're dressed sharp, they're going to smile, they're going to sing some religious songs, they're going to quote some religious phrases and books, they're going to greet some people, each other, with some Bible words. Refusing to humble themselves because God saves a humble person. Are you saved this morning? Are you born again? Have you asked Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell? If you have rejected God's word, you are not humble. You're full of yourself and proud. My Bible says in Psalm 9:12, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. In Psalm 10, verse 17, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Psalm 34, verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Do you know why you're so upset about everything else in life, in the world, in politics, in national life, the economy, society? You know why? Because you're not more concerned with your soul being saved on your way to heaven and people getting saved. I'm telling you, if World War III breaks out, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. If the riots reach Troy, New York, I'm going to go to heaven when I die, ladies and gentlemen. I am not going to let outside influences impact my soul's condition between my God and myself. I'm not going to let outside influence dictate to me whether I should be glad that I'm saved or not glad that I'm saved. So what are we going to do? Obey God, yield to God, surrender to God, and believe what God said. Not what the news media says, not what the newspapers say, not what Facebook or Fakebook says and everybody else online. His commandments are not grievous. God's people ought to be peaceful people. So what do you think we ought to do in North Korea? My opinion, give them all nuclear weapons and bring all the boys back home. Let South Korea, Japan, all those other nations, if they don't want to spend money in their military and defense, let them suffer. That's all. That's just my opinion. It's my opinion. Sure, I might die. I might get radioactive. And who knows what's going to happen? I don't know. You're worrying about things that you don't know if it's ever going to happen. You're so consumed with everything else going on instead of your condition between your relationship between you and God. When I die, I want to die right. I want to die right with God. When I die, take my last breath, when I walk into heaven on streets of gold and meet Jesus, I want to die right and be right with God. He's not going to ask me about my house and my car. Our impression is. When we go to meet God, it says, you think God's going to say, well, how's it been, Jesse? How you doing, Rich? That's what we think. We think God's going to have a conversation with us, like, you know, how's it going? God is not a man. And we've got these fanciful ideas that we ought to be just like the Hollywood actors and actresses lying to people while we're disobeying the very words of God, not being humble. In Acts 20, verse number 19, Paul was writing, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. In Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 18, talks of a voluntary humility. It's voluntary. It's a choice that you make. You're going to reap exactly what you sow. In Psalm 25, the Bible says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach in his way. You can't teach somebody who's stubborn, rebellious, and proud. But you teach people who are humble and meek and wanting to learn. In 2 Kings 22, 19, because thine heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation, a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. So when you hear the word of God and you say, God, I didn't know that was in the Bible. I didn't know that was right. I'm sorry, God, please forgive me. Please, Lord, I want to do what's right. That's humility right there, ladies and gentlemen. When you're begging God and pleading God for mercy, and God, please just have patience with me, dear God. I can understand, I can deal very easily with people that say, you know what, Pastor, you're right, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I'm still learning, I just got saved, or I don't know everything in the Bible, just give me, be patient with me. You know, I can live with that. I can't live with arrogance. I'm sorry. I can't live with reprobates. I can't live with people who are too proud and too full of themselves, who clearly disobey the very words of God in their own lives purposefully. There's a big distinction right there, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible says, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble, thou wilt prepare their heart. He said in Proverbs 16, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He said in Proverbs 29, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Isaiah 2:11, listen to me good. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of man shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. You know, the haughty looks, lofty looks. The high brow, you know, they walk around like they're full of themselves. Like, you know, like this, you know, like that. The high look, the Bible says. We ought to be lowly people. We ought to be humble people. We ought not to be causing problems. We ought to be patient people. We ought to be people that love God and love people. Isaiah 57, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, watch this, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You know what God's looking for? God's looking for a broken heart. God's looking for a contrite spirit that says, God, I am nothing. I can't do anything right. And God says, I can use you. God's not looking for a PhD who's got it all together, you know, driving a BMW and lives in a 4-bedroom, 2-car garage, wall-to-wall carpet and AC and central heat and has got all made fine. And God's not looking for that, who's full of himself. God's looking for somebody who's broken because God enjoys taking the lowly and raising them up and seeing, just advertising to the world exactly what God can do. So that God gets the glory, not man gets the glory. 2 Chronicles 34:27, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. I read that before, but it's true. When you hear the word of God, what do? Do you refuse to humble yourself as Pharaoh did? And the judgment of God fell on Pharaoh and his people. Leviticus 26:41, when their uncircumcised hearts be humbled. And turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 8, please. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Too many people are full of themselves. The only things we know for sure is what's written in the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody said, the deist who wasn't even saved or born again, I think it was Ben Franklin, said the only thing sure in life is death and taxes. That's not true. That's not true at all. You think it's true because that's what you read. But you know what? Jesus could come back right now. We don't have to die. And if you don't work, you don't pay taxes. I'm just telling you. Back then, people were more responsible. He just thought, you know, it's a right thing, you know. The only thing for sure is death and taxes. But that's not true itself because it's not in the Bible. And you're taking some man who doesn't believe the Bible and you're taking his philosophy and putting it on top of God. Do you realize that Jesus come back right now and you'd be alive? Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse number 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. What's it say? To humble thee. And to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone. Watch this. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And that's the verse that Jesus used in Matthew chapter number 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so here's what God does. God lets you go through the wilderness and breaks you to see whether you humble yourself before God and say, dear God, here I am, use me. I can't take this anymore. And proves whether you love God or not. But isn't it interesting when somebody has a problem or a heartache or something devastating happens in their life, they either get bitter against God or they get better. They either humble themselves or they get mad and angry at God. They take it out on God. Why did God do this? That comes from a proudful heart, a prideful heart. God is God. God can do anything he wants. If God wants to kill you, he can kill you. If God wants to kill me, he can kill me. Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. We came with nothing, we're leaving with nothing. Amen. I came naked, I'm leaving naked. But when you're full of yourself, you're demanding things. You're demanding things. Yeah. I was out visiting yesterday, and I went to see somebody, and somebody says, the first thing somebody asked, it had to be a woman, you know. She says, where have you been? And she started. And before she started, I said, where have you been? I said, I'm in church in the adult Bible study 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. I'm at church at 11 o'clock every Sunday morning. I'm at church Sunday night 6 o'clock. I'm at church 7 o'clock. I said, where have you been? She just shocked. Shocked. Brother-in-law sitting there, her boyfriend sitting next to her. She thought she was hot. She thought she was hot. Like, where have you? She's talking to a preacher. Where have you been? I said, where have you been? I said, you can come see me anytime you want. I'm in church. So, well, Moses had a chip on his shoulder. That's what they think, preachers have a chip on their shoulder. You know what? I have noticed that the Bible-believing Baptist preachers are the most courteous people outside the pulpit, but they're lions in the pulpit. You don't like their preaching because you're rebellious, you're stubborn, full of pride, and not humble to believe what God says. That's what they would have said about Moses. That's why they cut John the Baptist's head off. That's why Nero cut Paul's head off. Because you know what? Pride says rebellion. Pride says stubbornness. Humility says, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I mean, the Bible is very clear about preaching, man. Have you ever read the Bible, how to preach? So, Pastor, why are you so animated when you preach? Well, the Bible says, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. I mean, it's hard for a woman to do that, don't you think? That's why the Bible says a woman shouldn't be a pastor. I mean, it's very easy. It's in the Bible. But they do because they're rebellious. Well, I know that's what it says, but you know what? I can be the pastor. That's not humility. That's going against God's word. I don't care how nice they are. I don't care how she can smile. It doesn't matter to me. When you go against the word of God, that's not humility, it's pride. You can't take hard preaching. Why? Why? Oh, for what reason? Was a preacher saying something wrong? Did a preacher preach heresy somewhere? If I've got a Bible chapter and a Bible verse, why is it hard for you to swallow that? Tell me, I just want to know. Is it your humility? I mean, when I went to church, I wasn't a pastor, I wasn't a deacon, I wasn't a Sunday school teacher, I was sitting in the pews like you are. I came to the church with my King James Bible, and I said to myself, I said to God, I said, dear God, just show me something in the Bible that I didn't know before. Like Brother Rich prays just about every time. He says, give us something we didn't walk in with when we leave, before we leave. I want to learn something from the Word of God that I didn't know before, because I want to obey God to the best of my ability. Not that I'm not a sinner. Not that I've said things that I've regretted. Not that I've done things that I've regretted. But I want to humble myself before God. Say, God, I want you to show me. I want you to teach me. I don't have an attitude. I don't care what that preacher says. I want to listen to what the preacher says. I do. America's full of herself, and that's why America's going down the tubes, ladies and gentlemen. Leviticus 26, I'm not sure if I read that. And that I also have walked contrary unto them and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled and they then accepted the punishment of their iniquity. Oh, guess what? If you're willing to say, God, you know what? I deserve this. You're right. God's willing to listen to you then. If you're willing and honest before God, say, God, I deserve everything I'm getting right now. I just need you right now. God, please help me. God will listen to you. But if you get mad all the time and angry and you just walk off and stomp, you know, like a little baby, like a little toddler, 2-, 3-, 4-year-old kid, that's pride. Do you think you're more capable of fixing your life or God is? Do you think you know more about yourself or the one who created you? Do you think you know more about your future than the one who can see the future? That's why we don't like sermons on separation that we preached a week or two ago. That's why we don't like hard preaching. That's why we don't like reconciliation, because you have to humble yourself and go to your friend. Make sure thy friend, he said. We don't want to restore friendships. We don't want to restore marriage. We're just too cold hearted. I'm not going to get back with my wife, my ex-wife, or my ex-husband. That's pride. Contrary to what God says, to reconcile with your husband and reconcile with your wife. You want to break fellowship easy with somebody? You don't want to restore fellowship? Jesus said in Matthew 23, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. He said in Matthew 18, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Turn to Jeremiah 13, please. Jeremiah 13. The Bible says, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. In Zephaniah 2:3, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. He said in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek. In Matthew 11:29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You're taking advice and counsel from everybody who's stinking full of themselves and proud. Why don't you read the very words of God about Jesus, who humbled himself as God Almighty? Jeremiah 13, verse number 15, please. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud. For the Lord has spoken. All right. This is the word of God. God speaks through the word of God. So he said, be not proud. Verse number 16. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, ye turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. You better watch out, he says. You better humble yourselves. Don't be proud, because darkness and doom is coming. But if you'll not hear it. Jeremiah is called a weeping prophet. There's more weeping in the book of Jeremiah than any other prophet that's in the Bible. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principality shall come down, even the crown of your glory. America has been too proud for the last 50, 70 years, to be honest with you. We have probably one of the strongest militaries in the world. We have one of the most, if not the most, fake biggest economy in the world. Our riches, everybody yearns for. That's why they're crossing the borders trying to get here. But you listen to me well. There's going to be coming a day in America, soon and very soon, that the cupboard's going to be bare. There will be no government agency to hand out cheese and milk anymore. There won't be any more money found in welfare lines or food stamps. Businesses will close and factories will close, and people are going to hunger, as they did during World War II. And guess what? You're going to see people humbled. Yeah, you're going to see pride gone for the vast majority of people. Because when you suffer and you're brokenhearted, you're ready for God. You're ready for God. When you rebel against God, you know the sin of Sodom was? They were fullness of bread, pride. Just read it in Ezekiel. The sin of Sodom was fullness of bread and pride. Look at America. That's exactly where she's at. You go preaching downtown, you go soul winning downtown, they laugh, they mock at you. If they could, they'd have you arrested. And they will soon, because this will be hate speech. It's only by the grace of God, I'm telling you, that Hillary didn't win. I'm just telling you, by the grace of God Almighty alone. But the day is coming. But you know what? That's what we need, to go through the wilderness, to break our hearts, to be humbled, to be used of God. See, God wants to use people. God wants to bless people. Wouldn't it be great if you decide, you could, as we said, it's a choice. You can choose to humble yourself right now before the dark days come, where you then will be humbled. Not because you chose it, only because then you'll be so broken about it, you'll have almost no choice then to be broken. It'd be a lot better voluntarily choosing humility now than when destruction comes and you're in a panic then. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. As I said, Lord, I know I'm not qualified. I doubt there's anybody alive that's qualified to teach on how to be humble, how to be clothed with humility, other than reading the words of God, other than your words. Every man walketh in a vain show, the Bible says. And Lord, great men are not always wise. And Lord, all of us have sinned at one time or another. And all of us have made mistakes at one time or another. And all of us, if we're honest, regret decisions and things that we've said or done in the past. And there's a good chance we're going to be wrong again in the future. There's a good chance that we're going to regret something else that we're going to say in the future or do something in the future we're going to regret. There's a very good probability that we are going to sin again, even today. But yet, despite all that, you have told us, commanded us to humble ourselves to the best of our ability. And part of that humility is going to thee on a daily basis, at least 2-3 times a day, on bended knee, seeking thy face and pleading for mercy and forgiveness, and loving you and loving thy word. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Dear Jesus, thank you, Lord, for leaving heaven's glory. You didn't have to. You chose to humble yourself, to come to this sin-stricken, cursed earth for the salvation of mankind. Lord, if you can do that, a sinless God, a holy God, surely we can humble ourselves and obey thy word, even if we don't agree sometimes, even if we don't like it sometimes, even if it goes against our grain sometimes, even if it's not comfortable, even if people are going to say or think about us differently. Humility says that we need to obey the word of God. Bless these dear folks, Lord. I thank you for a church that is, be honest with you, Lord, humble and meek, that care about the words of God, that care about souls, that love you. I thank you, Lord, I'm in a church that people love each other. God, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you we don't have arrogance and the pride that wants to pop its head up. I thank you for God. I thank you, God, for folks who love the King James Bible and are willing to humble themselves to the best of their ability to obey thy word. Bless this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying.